Hi, this is Nathan East, hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone.
You're too good to me. Fill me up when my glass looks empty. You always try to see a better version of me. Never waiting, cause I know that you'll always make it. I can't take it.
Welcome to the zone of LOTL Radio. Lord have mercy, man. 2018 is here, and we're here to bring it to you. Substance, Lord have mercy. And speaking of substance, multi-platinum super producer, the one and only Mr. Oh Boy himself, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Jazzy Faye is going to join us on the show. So on behalf of the Teddy Bear and the Zone, it is my pleasure to welcome to LOTO Radio, Jazzy Faye. Brother, how are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, man, I'm blessed, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us, man. It's truly a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. It's a pleasure to be here, brother.
Man, I got to ask you, you've done so much, and the journey has been so great, and I have to ask, man, what do you have in store for us for 2018?
Oh, man, I'm coming with the new and Show Enough Digital Media. It's my record company. We do media. We do merchandise, venture deals, all kind of stuff.
You know, the industry has changed so immensely since you started. And it seems to me that the sound has also evolved. And I want to find out from you, being a producer, since everything is so changed dramatically, how have you been able, I guess, to keep your ear to the grindstone and it being able to kind of evolve and come up with different sounds or invent different sounds so you can actually help your producing, you're working with an artist?
I think it's mostly about, you know, just social media, staying in touch with social media and just the youth, you know, just finding out, you know, what the young people are doing, but not just what the young people are doing, but what the young people really need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, things have changed so dramatically. Do you find that, speaking of the youth, do you find a lot of the younger artists, do you really truly feel that they take the craft seriously, meaning that they are willing to put in the necessary time and effort to really put something out that's worthy and not just put something out just to be putting it out?
No, I don't really think all of them are. There are a few that are, but for the most part, I mean, it's kind of like... Like, where did you learn? Where did you get it from? You know, a lot of us were more fortunate because, you know, we got it from real musicians who played real instruments. And, you know what I mean? Not saying that some kids, you know, they play instruments in school, but few of them really carry that out. You know what I mean? They go do it because mom said you need to play the clarinet, or mom said you need to play the saxophone, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it wasn't like, you know, a lot of people weren't, you know, just musically inclined. I mean, the more, you know, technically advanced we got, I think the dumber we got, you know, far as not saying it in a negative way, but you know, it's just factual. You know what I mean? The more ignorant we got of, you know, how to really do things manually, you know,
right.
You know, because we went from, you know, recording on 24-track tape, you know what I mean, to now you can see the music. You can point to the engineer and say, no, the red one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the vocal I need you to move from 1 minute to 2 minutes. I mean, you know, it can loop and do, you know, everything is just so sophisticated now. And it transcends from just the music to regular life. I think it's just everything is just, you know, at the touch of a dial, you know what I mean, in your hands, at your fingertips.
You know, I had the pleasure of having your dad on the show a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And we're both 21. We grew up in that era of music when music was real. It was pure. It meant something. You had to really take pride in your art form. And one of the things mm-hmm. that I brought to his attention and that he agreed with me with is that it was something beautiful to get into a studio and create something from bare bones, from nothing, before the digital age hit us. It was something magic about creating something that was raw. And I wanted to ask, as you said, social media, digital age, it all has a balance, but you think a lot of times we have a tendency to get away from the pure art form of what music should sound like and just giving the listener something raw.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it's gotten, man. It's like I said, it's all about, you know, where they're getting it from. And it's like, you know, everything is on YouTube. Like, you can go to YouTube and see how real music is even made. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then you got the millennials who look up to different people now. You know what I mean? Just like when we were young, we looked up to certain people. You know what I'm saying? I looked at people like, you know, Parliament Funkadelic and Cameo and, you know what I'm saying, people like that. But they, you know, they look up to Gucci Mane and Amigos and, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, and you can't blame them. They're doing what their age group is doing. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, that even back then, you know what I'm saying? When the new Converse came out, we wanted a new Converse. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now it's like when the new Jordans or the new LeBrons come out, they want the new LeBrons or the new Jordans. And oh, who wears them? Oh, yeah, Quavo from the Migos, he wears them. I want them. You know what I mean? And want to do whatever it costs to get them. They cost $1,000. I got to have them. You know, so
but
everything comes from our surroundings and our culture and what we're giving it to them. I think we got a job, you know, especially as from making music to playing the music, you know, to bridge the gap. You know what I'm saying? To bridge the gaps. Like, you know, I think you just got to mix it in there. You know, you might give them some Migos, but turn around and give them some Al Green, something that sounds cool or something where they might have got that sample from, and give them some education about, you know, where these kids are going and where even the Migos, where they came from or where their music and your producers were thinking about when they use that sample. Or like when you use the I Choose You by Outkast and Willie Hutch. You know what I'm saying? When you take that and then you go back and play the original record. And they'll be like, oh, that's that record? Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? That sounds great.
Right. What I was getting ready to say was that I guess for me, from a personal standpoint, I know for me I have a tendency to be somewhat jaded because, as you just stated, a lot of the artists that do sample music, they don't have an idea where the music is coming from. And I think it implores us, as far as people who truly love music, to educate them and get them an understanding as far as what you're, as you said, Willie Hutch, from Willie Hutch to James Brown, to the Barcase, Parliament Funkadelic, the Natural Four. I mean, it goes on and on. And a lot of these young artists don't know anything about history, or as you stated earlier, you know, learn how to pick up an instrument. Most artists, and these young artists, don't even know how to read music. And what are some of the key things that you really hone on when you get a young artist in the studio? What are some of the things that you're able to pull out of them that they may not even have known that they had in themselves, as far as bringing those extra vocals out, maybe adding a special touch and making them really work for it?
Well, there's different things that I do. First thing I do is I we go through that I teach. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, first, before anything, I got to find out what you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Right.
And first of all, even before that, if your content ain't right, I'm a studio with you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got to get that straight off top. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, you know, it's about technique. I try to teach. You know, when kids can leave, you know, my session, they can go to a Metro Boomin or Timberland or whatever kind of session you go to, and you could take that technique and say, Jazzy taught me that. I'm teaching them how to, you know, excuse me, do the best thing that they know how to do with their voice. Show them how their voice works at its best tone, you know what I'm saying, per song. Because I might have a song that calls for you to talk low. Just like when you see, when you hear, what was that, the Yin Yang Twins, the Whisper song. You know what I mean? It was just a beat. It was just a little beat and one other sound, and it was whispering on the record. How you move everything out of the way so that you can actually hear these cats whispering on a beat. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about technique. It's all about technique. I mean, I can't take a fully musical track and make a whisper song because the music is gonna get in the way.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's all about technique and all about preparing, you know, for the vocalists and showing them what to look for and how to make songs. Because
right.
I was taught to make hits. I was raised to make hits. My daddy used to sit the billboard and he used to walk in and say, "Who's number one?" You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Once he figured out that's what I was gonna be, he gave me the guidelines of how to you know, project, you know what I'm saying, my future and how to map out my destiny. You know what I'm saying?
It's interesting that you mentioned your father, and as I said, we're in that age when you grew up listening to your dad. For me, having that kind of special relationship with him, how long did it take him to input as far as the business aspect of the industry? Because I think a lot of young or up-and-coming artists, they get kind of fooled and they get kind of starstruck with the money aspect and being a quote-unquote star, but they don't understand the business aspect of the industry, because at the end of the day, it is a business. And I remember, I forgot how long ago it was, but I remember you conducted an interview and you were really sitting down and talking about the business aspect of this industry. How important is it that they understand this?
Well, I mean, is this important? It's like, you know, you could be making money today, and if you don't handle your business, as soon as your music goes away and as soon as your buzz goes away, your money will go away too. So now you got to decide whether you want your money to last longer than you do. And that's the goal, because we want to pass this money down to our grandkids, our children. We don't want them to have the burden to bear of trying to find out where you're going to be buried at and your plot and what happens to your grandkids and your children. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Those are some of the things that we gotta think about when we're making music. Because, and another thing that I like to teach is and these young people, even older cats, that this music, you know, if you do it right, you can take care of everybody. You can make sure everybody is straight. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, not let them fend for themselves, but I mean the ones that depend on you.
I think, you know, a lot of the artists don't understand as far as what it means to have their publishing rights for the music, because you have different entities like commercials where they can sit up and use your music without permission. So that, I mean, knowing your business, handling your business, work your plan your work, that's essential as far as having that longevity in the industry. What have you learned about yourself as far as the creative process? What is the difference between Jazzy Faye today than Jazzy Faye, let's say, 7 years ago? How have you grown as a producer?
As a producer, I think how I've grown is I've learned more to be, instead of be like the old Jazzy Faye, who was always in the studio, always had her hand on her instrument, and always you know, inside of the box instead of outside of the box. I think, and this is over the front of the last 15 years, I think. But what I've learned is that these kids out here, these young people, they really need to know that, you know, creatively wise, I always push the fact that you know, I got lost. I got. Hold on a second. Hello, what was the question? Can you say the question again?
No, we were talking. No. The question was, as far as how have you seen yourself evolve? Where you at now as a producer than where you were 7 years ago?
Now as a producer, I feel like I'm more of a delegate. I like to delegate. You know what I'm saying? I like to delegate, meaning I really like to teach, you know, more so of how this production works, and let people know that if you're a producer, I have to let them know that whenever you're producing a record, it's not because you just, okay, I'm gonna get your email, Teddy Bear, and I'm gonna send you this beat, and then you go and you make this wonderful production. Well, me and you really produced this together. If that was my last point of reference for the music. See, a lot of people are making beats and they think they're producing records. Well, Quincy Jones didn't make beats. Quincy Jones produced records.
Right.
DJ Khaled don't make beats. Puff Daddy don't make beats. He produces records. Faye makes beats and produce records. So you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
The thing is, like, you don't have to necessarily make beats to produce records. That's what I have to teach these kids now, because they think making beats is producing. And I told a kid, you know, recently, I said, look, you arguing about production, and you're not even thinking about the fact that we got to make more records together. And you got to think about this, that if you go and take a Mercedes engine and drop it off at the plant, do you think it's going to get produced without the producer? It's not going to get done. If Mercedes-Benz ain't got nothing to buy and the rest of the car, then that's not a Mercedes-Benz. It doesn't get the stamp.
Without question.
For to be a part of the production, you have to be a real producer. You have to do it from inception to conception, from the beginning to the end.
You know, I must say, it's refreshing, but I am surprised, because I know that you've always had your fingerprints on everything as far as having complete control in the studio. So when you use the term, I'm delegating now, that's how long did it take you to get comfortable to say, you know what, I have to be able to delegate some responsibility and make sure the artist has an input on what's taking place and not just me controlling everything?
Well, subconsciously, I mean, it's like all of the people that I was around, from Benny Medina to Clarence Avant to L.A. Reid to Babyface to all of those people. They went and I've looked up to those people, and they told me some of the most valuable things that I've learned to date, that, you know, that the music is going to last longer than we will. So it's up to us to spread it out as much as we can. You know what I mean? Spread it thick. You know, so I think it was planted in me from the beginning. Because if you listen to my tagline says, ladies and gentlemen. And you can't say ladies and gentlemen without presenting somebody else.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Or something. You know what I'm saying? So subconsciously, I've been putting people on from the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, Ciara. Ladies and gentlemen, Young Jeezy. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Mary J. Blige. Even though you know who Mary J. Blige is, but you ain't never heard on a Jazzy Faye track. Just fine, fine, fine. You ain't never heard Mary J. Blige sound like that. So it's like, you know, it's all about giving them something, something that they can, you know, take with them. You know, it's all about transcending, man, and putting other people on. There's like five people working on that, because it was Jazzy Faye, it was Tricky Stewart, it's The Dream, it was Mary J. herself. And it's crazy, you know, when we did Just Fine, Mary J. had never sat in the studio and watched somebody do a beat. That's how we made that record. She said, I never sat in the studio and watched somebody make a beat for one of my albums. She said, Ruffy and all of them were always coming to the studio and the records were already ready. And we were sitting right by the drum machine and everything. And you know what I did? I turned around and I made the beat right there. I was like, yep, you experience it now.
That's a great learning tool, because a lot of artists like her at that time, when they worked for different labels, the music would already be prepared for them. So they had no input as far as how the music was being made. And now here we are in 2018, where now you have artists now are demanding more creative control, more creative input on what they put out there. For you, you had mentioned it as far as the digital music. And also, I always wanted to ask, because it seems to me now that a lot of the money is being generated, especially for a producer, if they can get their hands on as far as making a movie score for a major motion picture, has that come into the forefront for this year, where you can kind of dabble into that as far as the digital media is concerned?
Can what now?
No, as far as being able to produce some movie soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that anything planned for this year? Yes.
I'm working on some stuff right as we speak. Working on a movie soundtrack as we speak right now. Man, what was the name of that movie? I forgot the name of it. I think they got a working title, because you know a lot of times when you're working for the movie soundtracks, they don't tell you the title. They give you a working title because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to spill the beans about it or whatever.
Right.
But I'm doing some things as we speak. Working with some stuff for Tyler Perry, doing some stuff also for Lionsgate. So we're working on a few different things.
Is there a website you can give to the listeners out there where they can make sure to get all the latest updates?
Absolutely. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go right ahead. The airwaves is
okay,
yours, brother. All yours. Go right ahead.
Yeah, just go to jazzyfaye.com. Or you can go to my Instagram, at jazzyfaye, JAZZEPHA.
Okay.
And my Facebook as well, because you know a lot of people on Facebook.
Right. You know, it's
yep,
funny.
JazzyFaye is going to...
How long did it take you to get comfortable with social media? Because I know when you started, there was no social. I mean, there was MySpace. But look where we're at now.
It wasn't too hard. It was actually fun. I think the first person that really got me into it was, I think it was Big Tigger. We was at the Georgia Dome, and I was doing I was doing something with the Brat, me and the Brat, and I had seen Twitter, you know what I'm saying? But Twitter is kind of like, it wasn't really like pictures and stuff back then. It was like just words.
Right.
And people were sending pictures, but it wasn't like, you know what I mean, like videos and all that kind of stuff, how it is now. So Tigger pulled out his phone, and he showed me, he said, man, he's like, I said, what's your Twitter? He said, man, let me show you what the new thing is. He says Instagram, it wasn't that many people even on it. It was
right.
Like, you know, because I've really never, you know, on Facebook. I don't know why. I just didn't get into it until Instagram, because it was just like, it was more so in the palm of your hand. You know what I mean? Facebook was a little confusing to me. And when anything that you feel like that your grandmama was on, you're like, I don't need that.
I don't want to be.
I don't want to be on that. I don't want y'all contacting me from 1979. You know what I'm saying? Ask me a bunch of dumb questions. Do y'all live in a mansion? You know what I'm saying? So once we got to Instagram, he showed me Instagram and all the filters and all the fun that you can have with it. I was like, oh man, this is great. So, you know, I got into that right off. It was easy for me. I'm a socialite anyway, so I like to socialize and kick it and talk and, you know what I mean, round people up. And that was a great, you know, tool to round folks up, you know what I mean? And it works.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned as far as being a socialite, because on a few separate occasions that I've made my way down to the ATL, I said, man, every time I look around, Jazzy Faye is out and about working his magic. I'm saying, how is this cat having time? Where does he find the time to get in the studio and work with these artists, man? And I said, you know what? He must have some bank.
So I got a stunt double.
You
got to. No, let me show you what I do. You know what's crazy, Ted? What I really do is I treat like going out and stepping out and being social with the folks. I treat that like an after set. Like people get off work at 5, so I just go. I just step out at about 12. And then I schedule my sessions when I'm working. I schedule my sessions pre that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And now, unless it's a session that just goes over, I mean, that's cool. But, you know, I'm not going to get out every time the club opens or something like that. But if it's a good event, I'm probably going to kind of try to show my face and go try to make a contact or let somebody know that I'm out here. You got to let people know, because you know how the size is out of mind.
Absolutely. You know, that's the new form of networking now. That is a new form of networking now, going to these different events to network and conduct business. It's just, it's incredible. It's refreshing, and it's, you know, I've gotten accustomed to it. It took some time, but that's the best way to network and conduct business. You're going out to these different functions, these gatherings, these parties, and you're conducting business because you're discussing money and how to make this money and how to make things happen. And speaking on how to make things happen, we have some callers on the line. We're going to area code 828. You're on the line with the Teddy Bear.
What is that?
Yes, look. That's the ATL.
828, what is that?
You're on the line with Jazzy Faye and the Teddy Bear. Caller, what's your name and what's your question? Go right ahead.
This is Bianca. I'm from North Carolina, Jazzy Faye. That's 828. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, I know you've probably been asked this 1,000 times, but I know you and Sierra worked on a lot of major, major projects. And so we going to get to hear you guys work on some projects for 2018?
I don't know. There have been talks of it. You know what I'm saying? There's people talking. You know what I mean? But, you know, when we start talking, that's when I'll have a better you know, knowledge of when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. But for now, we just family. And, you know, she got her family. And you know, she's building as a young lady. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think that's the most important thing right now for her, is like to learn how to, you know, just have a family and just be, you know, productive, I guess. Soon, she says she wants to do a dance album. She wants to do a dance album. So they called me about it. But, you know, I don't like listening to executives. I like to listen to her. I want to talk to her.
Right.
I'm more of a personal person. You know, I'm not an industry guy at all by any means. But I am, but
absolutely.
I'm not.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
well,
stay tuned.
Thank you so much.
Never know. I think we might have a movie before we have a music.
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you for taking my question. I appreciate you guys taking my time.
Absolutely.
No problem. All right. Man, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show. And again, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining us. This is your home away from home. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know. So whenever you decide to release some new music, I don't care if it's like Grandma's Cookies, it's somewhat soft, not completely ready, send it here. And we will definitely we will debut it here first, man.
Absolutely, bro. I'm gonna take that. You know I'm gonna run out with that.
We definitely go dead here.
I'm a, oh. Hey, man. I was like, man, I just sent you something, boy. It's like Grandma's Cookies, boy. Somewhat soft, not completely ready, boy. But you're going to get man, this you right here. You see, I got it already.
Oh, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Hey, man. It's a pleasure, man. You are definitely a great interviewer, man. That's dope. You know what I mean? I love when it happens like that.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. Oh, before I let you go and run off right off into the sunset, man, I got to tell you, the last time I seen you, brother, I seen you in this smoking jacket. I said, I got to get it. I got to get it, man.
Okay.
You were looking debonair, and I said, I got it. So about a week later, I went and got me a smoking jacket, man. It's a black crush velvet smoking jacket.
As you should. What color was it? Burgundy?
It was burgundy. It was burgundy.
Hey, you know what? That's crazy because my nickname is Finzel Burgundy, and everybody, but I spell it Burgandy, and the girls be like, "Why you call yourself Burgundy? But you spelled it wrong." I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "What is Burgundy then?" I was like, it ain't the color, it's the feeling, baby.
There you go. Hey, so it is written, so it shall be done. Continued success, my brother, okay?
You too, my brother.
All right, God bless. All right. The super talented Jazzy Faye here in the zone, Novello T.O. Radio. Lord have mercy. Hope everyone is enjoying the new year. My goodness, man, we already into the second week of the new year, you know. But like the teddy bear always said, you know, we want our music uncut, shaken, but never stirred. You wanted it, we're going to give it to you. Nothing but the best substance. But in the meantime, we're going to take a little quick 2 and 2 and get lost in some brownstone. If you love me, here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
Yeah.